Well, tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and spiritual understanding. And we call this Wednesday night service our Spirit Life service. And so there's a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. And of course, every sermon should be spiritual, right? But the last several weeks particularly, we've been talking about how the early church enjoyed the reality of the Holy Spirit, not just the idea of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit is a force or an energy, but the Holy Spirit is a person with whom we have relationship, a living reality in our lives. And last week we tried to present to you that we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God's presence now is with us and in us. And after a long lineage of the Lord manifesting His presence in various ways, it was all leading up to this time when man would once again be indwelt by the Spirit of God, just as Adam, when God breathed into him, even now through the last Adam, Jesus Christ, we have His Spirit dwelling in us, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a sense in which we can say corporately, we are Christ's body filled with God's Spirit in the earth. And individually, we are members one another, joined together by covenant blood, the blood of Christ, but also indwelt by the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus when He lived as a man on the earth. And but tonight, I want to dive into a verse in Colossians chapter 1, that we're going to look at in a moment, verse 9, where Paul wrote and said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Now, he's referencing a line of things he's already shared in the previous verses. And what I want to pick up on is what he prayed for them. And we're not even going to cover everything he prayed, because it's one of those unending sentences of Paul, where he begins to pray, of course, in the original language of the New Testament, it was Koine Greek. It's not even the kind of Greek that you might have had in your the letters over your sorority building in college, but Koine Greek, lowercase letters in Koine Greek without any type of punctuation, so it's just an unending stream of letters for the most part. And but when it's translated into English here, it just goes on with commas, 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 semicolon, commas to the end. And it's all good, but we don't have time for that tonight. I already said more than I should have said about that. Now, let's talk about this prayer. He said, "I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And then he continues on. That we would be filled, we're going to take that for us, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that's God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you have God's will, and you have wisdom and spiritual understanding. In the original, actually, a more literal translation would be that you would be filled with all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Emphasis on the relationship of the Holy Spirit in the believer, knowing God's will, and that to be, as it were, immersed in wisdom and understanding of the Spirit, spiritual understanding. So, knowing God's will is a big deal. It really is. And it's one of the most often questions that most pastors get from people. How can I know God's will for my life? And there's so much scripture that leads us to answer that question. But this one tells us that along with God's will, we need wisdom and we need spiritual understanding. Now, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scripture, and He's therefore the very best teacher there is of the Scripture, since He authored it. He also is the one upon whom we need to depend when it comes to how to apply the Scripture to my life. Because really, when you start talking about wisdom, wisdom is seeing our lives from God's perspective. In other words, seeing life from God's point of view. What does God say about this? What does He have to say about this? Wisdom is the application, the proper application of knowledge to our life as believers. So you can know God's will, but wisdom is the ability to properly apply what you know to be God's will in your life. And spiritual understanding, that's a very, which is where we're going to focus on tonight, the idea of spiritual understanding. That word understanding is from two Greek words. When you put it together, it means to bring together. To bring together, that word understanding. So to by the Spirit, to spiritually bring things together in the right way. And so there's knowledge, and there's wisdom, and there's spiritual understanding, and we want to kind of dive into that tonight. So how does understanding and wisdom play into the knowledge of His will? Because Paul prayed that we'd be filled with the knowledge of His will. A simple example. The Lord may lead you to do something, and yet wisdom will tell you that in order to do that, in order to get to the place where that is done, you have to do this, this, and this that enables you to do the thing the Lord's calling you to do. Sometimes that there's preparation involved to do God's will. For instance, God began to deal with me years ago, soon after I was called to preach, about to continue my education and to ultimately go to seminary and so forth. I knew that to be God's will. But wisdom applied that meant to, in order for, before I could go to seminary, I had to finish my undergraduate work. And there was just a whole series of things that had to eventuate in our lives before I actually could end up there. And I knew that to be God's will. And it's often that way. Sometimes it's a timing issue. Wisdom, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but a lot of times you may get a call in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock. And I've had some of those calls through the years, and sometimes it's because people are in a state of mind, they don't even realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Because of maybe they've been drinking too much or some other things like that. And they want to pour their problems out. And the truth of the matter is those problems may have been building up for 15 years. But they want it fixed right then. You know. And so wisdom means like, well, you know, you need... We really can't discuss that right now, not just because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, because I have had a lot of discussions at that time to help people, and it was very legitimate. But some of those times, it's like, wisdom says, you need to get sober before we talk. You know, you need to go to sleep. I'm going to go to sleep. Call me back tomorrow and when things clear up. So just wisdom can be applied in a lot of ways. I want to share a quote with you because I ran across this by Dr. Paul Elliott, and he says, what the Holy Spirit through Paul is describing in Colossians 1:9 is spiritual intelligence. This is what God wants us to have. God does not ask you to put your mind in mothballs when you become a Christian. He does not ask you to put your intellect in the deep freeze. God does not place a premium on ignorance. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ liberates Christians to use their minds in a way that the unbeliever cannot even understand. So when we talk about spiritual understanding, that don't make that overly mystical. It means that you are able to allow your mind to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and to operate within the boundaries of Scripture, and then there you therefore have access to wisdom the world does not have access to. The very nature of you having a mind filled with and led by the Holy Spirit means that you're going to be able to see life in a completely different way than a person that doesn't know Jesus. Paul said it this way, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But to be spiritually minded is life. To be spiritually minded means the Holy, you are in sync with the Holy Spirit and your mind is being governed by the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And so it's a beautiful thing. I love the way he says that we can think in ways that the unbeliever cannot even understand. Spiritual understanding implies there has to be a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's informing your mind in the Spirit so that you have a perspective, God's perspective, on what you're facing. And so when you come, then you have God's will operating, you have wisdom operating, you have spiritual understanding operating. And all of those, it's very, very powerful. And I just want to encourage you to learn to bring whatever subject you're thinking about, whatever you're facing or going through, bring that, as it were, to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He would guide you in all truth. He'll show you things to come. He will illuminate the Scripture to you and help you to know how to apply the Scripture to your daily life. And I know personally, when I'm dealing with subjects, I've kind of trained my mind that I'm always running Scripture through that subject. How does this compare with what God's Word says? Do I have a Scripture that backs up what I'm feeling, what I'm saying, or what I'm hearing, what they're saying? Where does that fit in Scripture? And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can bring Scripture to your mind and says, here's you something to put under what's being said to support it scripturally. And then that gives you confidence. And that's the reason it's so important to read the Word of God, to meditate on God's Word. It's just very, very important to do that. Knowledge can be obtained without the Holy Spirit. The world can attain knowledge. You can learn things. All people do. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely amazing to me how quickly little children learn and assimilate to this world if they are thrust into it at birth. It's amazing how they begin to learn words, how they learn language, how they learn concepts, and how much they learn so soon. I was talking to my 2.5-year-old grandson last night on FaceTime, and he had a screwdriver taking a screw out of the plunger on the door. And his little hands were just doing this. And he was telling me all about it, 2.5 years old. And it's just amazing. So we're created to learn. I mean, I believe that's part of God's image in us. But you can learn a lot of things without the Holy Spirit. But true wisdom only has one source. Truth ultimately has one source. I'm talking about the truth that sets you free. The truth by which the world really operates. That comes from God Himself, and His Spirit makes that known to us. So it's really, really important to learn to govern your life with spiritual understanding, to see life spiritually, bring the Scripture into things. And I'm not talking about being religious with everything. For instance, I recently heard someone say they were sick, but it's like, no, I'm not saying I'm sick, but they were sick. You shouldn't put your faith in sickness. You shouldn't build your identity around sickness. But when I hear that, then I think about the Scripture. If any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church. If it's wrong to acknowledge that you're sick, you can't even obey the Scripture. I need you to pray for me, preacher. I can't tell you what it is. I mean, there's a place, listen. Because I believe there's some error in empowering this idea that you deny your struggle or deny what you're facing. Denying Satan doesn't make him go away. Denying sickness doesn't make it go away. You don't put your faith in sickness. You put your faith in your healer. I'm sick. That may be a fact. Took my temperature. It's 102 degrees. I've got a fever. Now, me saying that I've got a fever 102, I don't think it's going to make it 102.3. But if I begin to identify with that and say, the fever's got me, that's different than saying, I've got a fever. To wrap your identity around it, putting your faith in the ability of the sickness to be greater than your healer. I'm just saying the focus needs to be in those situations, scripturally. By His stripes, I am healed. Well, you wouldn't need to be healed if you weren't sick. You couldn't call for the elders of the church. Paul must have not have been inspired by the Holy Spirit when he said, I left Trophimus in Miletus sick. So I'm just saying, sometimes we get these ideas that we think make us more spiritual and like, oh, you don't say that. The doctor tells you that you have this. There's a difference in saying, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to let the seed of that take root in me and take my life from me. Okay. But neither am I going to deny the fact that now I'm going to go to war. Since this is in me, I'm going to go to war with the Word of God and I'm going to fight it and I'm going to put my faith in the one who can deal with this thing. Am I making sense? I mean, sometimes we get these ideas and we're magnifying the wrong thing. We don't put our faith in our ability, in the power of our own words. We put our faith in the ability of God's words. And we realize that when we let our words be permeated with God's word, and that's when you say, by His stripes I'm healed. Yes, I'm battling the flu, but I'm praying in tongues. I'm standing on the word, and by His stripes I am healed. So to me, that's just being honest without bowing your knees to that thing. And so I hope you're not misunderstanding what I'm saying there. We tend to, coming back to spiritual understanding and letting our thoughts be governed by truth from God's Word, I want to challenge each of us to always be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures to see if those things are so. Sometimes what we may be believing the right things, but we're really putting faith in the people that maybe like in our parents or grandparents or so forth, it's more of a tradition. And we haven't done the roll up our sleeves work, get into the Word and hide God's Word in our heart and strengthen ourselves spiritually by feeding on God's Word. Jesus Himself was perfect, full of the Holy Spirit without measure. And when the enemy came, Jesus and tried to get Him to turn the stones into bread, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He Himself recognized the authority that God's Word had in His life over the temptation that He was facing. And that's the way we need to think. Now, mind you, the enemy was wrongly using Scripture. He was quoting Scripture. Just saying the Scripture is not all, it's not all that's required. It's saying it in faith. Faith activates it. So the enemy is very adept at quoting Scripture. So we need the Holy Scriptures, and we need the Holy Spirit working together in our lives in order to operate with spiritual understanding. And again, we can get into our own traditions, and that can color everything that we face. I remember a number of years ago hearing a joke, and I'm sharing it with levity, and I'm really, it's not a joking matter, but the joke goes that there were three men that died, and they awakened in the land below, you know, in the place of punishment and suffering. And one of them was a Baptist, and he was going around saying, "I thought I had it, but I didn't. I thought I had it, but I didn't. Thought he had saved, but he wasn't." And another was a Pentecostal, and he was going around saying, "I had it, but I lost it. I had it, but I lost it. I had it, but I lost it." And then there was a Word of Faith person walking around saying, "It's not hot and I'm not here. It's not hot and I'm not here." You can identify with whichever camp you may choose. But I thought that really drives the point home. We have to be, we need to come to the Scriptures with an open mind so the Holy Spirit can change. Let me just ask you this question. How many of you here tonight, that there's been a time in your life when you came to a place where things that you had believed about the Lord, you'd believed about the Bible, you'd believed about the Christian life, you come to a place where you recognized, you know what, that's not what I believe anymore. This is what I now believe. Anybody in here ever done that? Yeah. Yeah. I've had major life change occur for me and my whole family because of that. And that it's an important thing. Well, let me ask you this. When that happened for you, does that mean that the Lord changed what truth was? Are you changed? Was it the Lord who was wrong? Are you who was wrong? So we have to have a humility of heart. We've got to, and what I mean by our traditions is sometimes we can so identify with our movement or our camp or denomination, whatever you want to call it, that determines what we're going to believe about things. And see, the way most movements have started is because one or more people came to a conclusion about Scripture that resulting in that movement to this, the body of truth. The Protestant Reformation is when a Catholic monk, Martin Luther, was studying about justification by faith and became absolutely convinced that you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone and not by works. And he tried to bring change where he was. And their idea of dealing with him would have been to burn him at the stake. And it resulted in a whole movement away to start the Protestant Reformation. And we can have those many movements in our lives when we are confronted by the Holy Spirit about something that we have believed. And maybe it's because we were taught that or we caught that. But when you get into the Word and start studying yourself and the Holy Spirit begins to teach you and you compare Scripture with Scripture, listen, there's still a number of things in Scripture that when I come to, I have opinions and I have some strong ideas, but there's still some of those places where I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. So I can't be dogmatic about it. Now there's other things like, Here I stand and I can do no other, like Martin Luther said. When it comes to salvation, I'm with Him. Faith alone in Christ alone. And so forth. So, you could say it this way. Using the Word without the Spirit can be harmful. I'm sure in my 39 years of ministry, there have been times I have used the Word without relying upon the Spirit in harmful ways. I know I've been subjected to that through the years. And I've seen that happen where people can use the Bible to slice and dice people, to condemn people. Now, we're condemned already if we don't know Christ. And we come under conviction. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about harsh, religious judgmentalism, browbeating, shaming people. I think you can use the Scripture wrongly. And that's the reason we need spiritual understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual understanding of how to proclaim God's Word, how to share God's truth. You know, the Scripture tells us as parents that we're to not provoke our children in wrong ways. We're to raise them in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's the way the Lord raises His children too. It really is. So we want to use this Word. I mean, using the Word without the Spirit can be harmful. And that's what Satan did when he came against Jesus. That's what religion does. That's what carnal preachers can do. Then you can use the Spirit without the Word, and that can be dangerous. Because not every spirit is the Holy Spirit. Not every powerful thing that may or may not happen is necessarily the Holy Spirit. We were talking about this Sunday at lunch, Pastor Dot and some of us were, and you know, Scripture is really clear that Satan himself can turn himself into an angel of light. Paul said this, if anyone, told the Galatians, if anyone comes to you and they preach another gospel than the one that I delivered to you, even if it be an angel, let him be accursed. So Paul understood that people could be led astray in convincing ways by seemingly spiritual people. Most of the issues and problems that arose in the letters of the epistles Paul wrote to churches were churches that were having to try to correct some false doctrines and things that were going on. It's important that we know the Scripture and compare Scripture to Scripture. So using the Spirit without the Word can be dangerous. The Holy Spirit and the Word will always be in agreement. And without the Word, you can become deceived. And then using the Word and the Spirit is basic Christianity. Father is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and truth. So at Grace House, we endeavor, you know, part of our purpose is to equip people to be anchored in God's Word and equip people to be empowered with God's Spirit. To be able to have the Word and the Spirit working in tandem in our lives. So that we can be strong, we can be stable, and we can have a safe environment. And that's important. Now, this idea of spiritual understanding, again, all of us can learn and attain knowledge, and we can educate ourselves out the gazoo. And I'm not bad-mouthing education. I think I love to learn things. But think about those disciples of Jesus. When they were brought before the educated elite after the day of Pentecost, they testified, these are learned, ignorant, and uneducated men. They're just fishermen. But yet, these, quote, uneducated guys pinned them in the corner. They were amazed at what they were able to do, the truth they were able to share. And it said they took note they had been with Jesus. Jesus. See, they were spiritually minded. They were in union with Christ. They were operating with the mind of Christ. And that levels the field, see, in Christianity. When you've got the Holy Ghost in you, there's a sense in which you don't have to look up to anybody concerning wisdom, because you have access to the wisdom of God. You can operate with a spiritual mindset. And Paul is another example of someone who was highly, extremely educated, schooled by Gamaliel, Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could go toe-to-toe with any of the educated religious elite of his day. And yet he was humbled by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit filled Paul's life. So in addition to all that he had learned and gained concerning the Scriptures, now the master teacher whom he met sent his own spirit to live in Paul. And wow, that was an amazing combination that Paul had. Should be no surprise that because of how that you look back at Paul's life, how God prepared him. All of that. Yeah, God was working in Paul. All of his training, all of his learning, his knowledge of the Scriptures. And then the day came, he got saved, and the Lord took that man, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and then he wrote most of the New Testament. He was grounded in the Scripture. And then he got filled with the Spirit. We need both, the Word and the Spirit. And I personally believe that there's often a lack of emphasis in what we call the charismatic movement, empowered evangelicals, third wave Christians. There's often a lack of emphasis on just knowing the Scriptures. Reading God's Word. Read it and let it read you. Meditate on it. And it's good to listen to preaching and listen to teaching and receive like we are here tonight. But don't allow that to become a replacement or a substitute for your own engaging the Scriptures personally, asking the Holy Spirit to teach you. We all can learn from one another. And that's one of the beautiful things about the church. Now, I want to break it down a little bit more in regard to this idea of a person's understanding. And I want to talk about spiritual understanding, natural understanding, and carnal understanding. Because each of us in this room tonight, we're operating with one of those three types of understanding. And I've already been talking about spiritual understanding, to understand things from a spiritual point of view. What's God's take on this? What does the Scripture say to this? How is the Spirit bearing witness to this? Spiritual understanding, where you and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures together, and those three chords, if you will, together, you are understanding life, being informed by the Holy Spirit, being informed by the Holy Scriptures. All of that's coming together in you, and you're living your life with spiritual understanding. We understand there's a spiritual warfare raging. There will always be wars and rumors of wars, but there's a spiritual warfare. We realize that when we're warring in the Spirit, we don't war according to the flesh. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Isn't it interesting he used that word? We don't war using carnal weapons. We use spiritual weapons. And that's enumerated in Ephesians 6 and other places. Paul uses the Roman armament as in an analogous way to help us understand our spiritual weaponry. But in other words, we don't fight the way the world fights. We fight in the Spirit. There's the good fight of faith. And there's a lot involved in that. So Paul is clearly speaking of understanding it's based on the directing of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And we understand having spiritual understanding means when things are happening, that more is happening than just what we are seeing with our natural eyes happening. That people are being influenced. There are the influences of evil. There's Satan, the flesh, and the world. There's enmity that will arise against us and within us from those sources. So that's spiritual understanding. Natural understanding is to understand things from a natural point of view. Now, this is not necessarily sinful always. This is natural understanding. If I go here and I step off this, I'm going to go toward the floor. There's a law of gravity. I understand that by science, naturally. That's natural knowledge. I'm thirsty. Okay, then this water will supply a quench for my thirst. And it did. That's natural understanding. That's just not just using your common sense, basic knowledge. It's cold outside. I'm going to wear a coat. The stove is hot. I'm not going to touch it. You know, you learn these things, natural understanding. But if natural understanding is all you have, it is not enough. And so a lot of people are living their lives without a spiritual understanding or a spiritual perspective. I was having a conversation the other day with someone. We just got talking about how hard it is. I mean, when you here in the Bible Belt, I mean, preaching is easy. Most people have had some framework for Christianity. Jesus is not a foreign term or word or name. But go somewhere in the world where they have no knowledge of Jesus Christ and no knowledge from the Scripture and start there. That's a task. You know, there's a lot of things you have in common and with natural knowledge. But to introduce them to the reality of Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm, that only can happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how that works. There's someone who's never heard about Jesus. Some people, when the first time they hear about Jesus, they begin to weep, repent, invite Him into their life, and their whole life shifts and changes. That's the Spirit of God working and moving through God's truth, received by faith, and it results in a miracle, a new birth. It's amazing to me. That's the raw power of the Scripture. That's the eternal power of the Scripture. That's the power of the Holy Spirit convicting. So that's not present in the realm of natural understanding. That's spiritual understanding. But then I want to talk a moment about carnal understanding. And this is understanding that's being influenced by Satan, the world, our own flesh. And when we're operating in carnal understanding, you say something that hurts my feelings, then I curse you, and then you curse me back, and then you sling your fist, and I sling my fist, and we get into a big brouhaha. Why? Because we're acting carnally. We're spiritually minded. You don't get offended, hopefully for very long, and you choose to forgive. And you pray for that person, that they would have the understanding that that's not helpful for them to be that way, and so forth. But when we're operating in carnal understanding, you can be a believer and be a carnal Christian because you're being influenced by carnality. You're making your decisions based on carnal understanding. You're being influenced by the world wrongly, influenced by the enemy, and so forth. And it's affecting your decisions. It's affecting the way you live your life. You may end up being bound to certain things, have strongholds in your mindset, have strained and broken relationships, be miserable, have no peace, have no joy, be bitter, resentful, angry, jealous, envious, and so forth. The list goes. And where we're living that way, we're settling for carnal understanding. And I'm saying the Scripture calls us to a higher place to live. Set your mind on things above, where Christ, who is your life and your Lord, He is seated there. You have the mind of Christ. You have been made to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You overcome the world. You have victory over the world through your faith. You can destroy the works of the devil. You can cast out the devils. You can bring down strongholds. You don't have to settle a life lived out of carnal understanding or just natural understanding, but you have access to the mind of God through the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, and that's where the supernatural, powerful, miraculous, transformative things happen. That's when our prayers are most effective. That's when our faith is activated and operated. And like I was talking about earlier, if you're in a struggle and you're having to deal with sickness, you can take it on from a place of spiritual understanding. Yeah, the fact is I may have 102 fever, but the truth is by His stripes I'm healed. And you see that principle in Scripture because truth is greater than the fact. So you may get a report and that may be a fact, but the truth is greater than the fact. An axe head will always sink if you throw it in a river. It doesn't float. But it did in the Bible one time. Because God gave the prophet a word, and He threw a stick in, and the axe head did float. That's the truth. But the fact is, and the natural scientific analysis is, no, an axe head cannot float. A man who's lame in his feet for 40 years and never walked at all, that's a fact. People had seen him for 40 years. To walk by and say that man's not lame would have been a denial of the natural, scientific, established fact over history and time in that man's life. But one day somebody came by that had something from the realm of the spiritual. The man wanted something from the realm of the natural. Silver and gold. But Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but I got something better. What I do have, I give it to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the fact is that man was lame in his feet, but the truth is he leaped to his feet, began bouncing around like a jackrabbit, created a big stir, and that's what landed Peter and John in jail. When they got to amaze the religious elite, though they were uneducated fishermen, because they were connected with the Holy Spirit, they had the Word in them, and that all came together, and truth trumped the fact. And that's the way we're to live. So let's just work on having a more Christ-centered, scriptural-based, spirit-led understanding of everything that's out in front of us. Everything that's going on in the world. And that will do nothing but help us to be more powerful, to have more influence, to see more transformative movements of the Holy Spirit taking place. Because we have the mind of Christ, and as Paul prayed, we can be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word is the sole authority of what is true in our life. And I believe God's will, it may not be spelled out like expressly what you are to do in a given situation. Like, you may not find in the Bible, I didn't find in the Bible, Eddie Lawrence, you are to marry Mickey Denton. I didn't find that. But you will find principles in Scripture that will help you discern God's will. Like, don't be unequally yoked together. So, you want to marry a believer. Right? And in today's world, if you want to marry someone of the opposite sex, I mean, this is basic, this is God's design. These are things we need to know. This is right out of the Word. Now, you can change your authority, but your authority doesn't change. Think about that. You can change what you say is going to be your authority. But who really is your authority will not change. We all ultimately answer to God. And so all of our decisions, I believe there will be principles that will govern and guide us in the decisions we make in our life. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures to influence and inform us so we'll be spiritually intelligent and live this Christ life well. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Sure do appreciate you being here tonight. It may very well be that there's someone here tonight. You have need of prayer, and I'm going to ask some of our staff or some of our leaders who will come up, just come up, and there may be some people who need prayer tonight. Would some of you come and be available, some of our staff and some of our altar workers, just come and be available here? In case there's someone who wants prayer, we always want to be available to pray for you. If you have a need in your life, just come up and these will pray with you. We're going to dismiss here in just a moment. They're going to be playing some music back there. And Lord, we just pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, that You would help us just to align with what is true, that we would hear the voice of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we'd be governed by Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for this truth tonight. Lord, we want to be people who operate with spiritual understanding. We want to be able to have the wisdom to properly apply the knowledge of Your will in our life. We want, Lord, to be able to know what we can't know of ourselves, but Your Word will show us. That freshly spoken word, those rhema words when they're needed. And Lord, those times, those kairos moments when we need that rhema word, Lord, help us to be spiritually discerning and understanding, to step into those times so that we can see breakthroughs. We're just grateful tonight, Lord, for the truth of Your Word and the power of Your Spirit. And I pray that You would help us to harbor this truth in our life tonight, to hide it in our heart, and to be made stronger by it. And I thank You for these who are gathered here. I pray that You'd bless them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. I pray, Lord, that You'd surround their life with Your holy angels. I pray, Lord, that Your Word would become engrafted into their souls. I pray that they would have a fresh infilling and stirring of Your Spirit in their life, even tonight. I pray that Your peace that passes all understanding will guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, there would be no lack in their life. Lord, that they would be able to discern Your strategy for every struggle. Lord, Your Scripture for every moment of warfare. And Lord, that they would live in the place of victory, knowing their lives are hid with Christ and God. And I thank You, Lord, that You have called us to be salt and light here in this Tennessee Valley. And the days before us are better than the days behind us. The best is yet to come. We thank You for revival fire, Lord, that we believe is beginning to burn. We thank You for the river of God. We believe the water levels beginning to rise. We thank You for the saints of God that are being stirred to new levels, Lord, to intercede, to contend. And we thank You, Lord, for revivals in the pulpits of preaching the Word of God. And we thank You for fresh outpourings of Your Spirit, Lord, that change us forever. And so thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Meet back Sunday morning, 9 and 10:30. Have a good week.